Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
So I began last week by asking you a simple question. The question was simply this: how many of you are up and about and moving God toward your suddenlies? Remember that question last week? Some of you looked at me like this, like I didn't know I could move God towards anything, let alone towards my suddenlies. Well, we entered into the Word of God last week. We opened Scripture and we found out, yes, we can move God towards our suddenlies. Now, today I'm going to begin with another question, but it's a similar one, but a different one. And it goes like this: how many of you are living in such a way as to become a suddenly attractor? All right, not a tractor, but a suddenly attractor. How many of you want to attract a suddenly in God? How many of you want to attract the favor of God? How many of you want to attract the grace of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, compassion? So if you want to do all that, how many of you are living in such a way as to attract all of that and a whole lot more? Sometimes I think people are thinking that God's in heaven and he just throws out favor bombs all over the place and they land where they land. Friends, I want to tell you that is not the case. It is true that God will do what he does, no doubt about that. But it is not true that he's up there just throwing them out willy-nilly. How many of you know willy-nilly? Willy-nilly is not Willie Nelson. He's a singer. Willy-nilly is what my mum used to say. It just means like, just whatever. How many of you know that our God is not a whatever God? He's an on-purpose God. He's an on-focus God. He's a deliberate God. He's a creative God. And when he's bringing and releasing favor, it is because of. All right, because of. Now, I'm saying all this so we understand that there aren't any favor bombs going out. Now, you know people and I know people that just seem to attract the favor of God. Would that be true? You can talk to me. We're at church. Would that be true? We all know people that just seem to be favored. It's like, what does it go with those people? Everywhere they go, it just seems they get promoted. Everywhere they go, they get opportunity. Everywhere they go, they have suddenlies that just seem to come out of nowhere. Friends, this is what I want to say to you. It is not the result of a suddenly bomb coming from heaven. It is the result that they have learned some principles. They've learned the word of God. They've learned to live in such a way as to attract the favor of God. Lord, I'm over here. Jesus, won't you come over here? Because, Lord, I'm living in such a way as to attract what it is that we're believing to attract. Friends, I want to encourage you, things generally don't just happen, but they happen on purpose. And when favor lands on people over and over and over and over, there is a reason why. Now, Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We know this to be true. You show me marriages that break down, families that break down, you show me churches that break down, it's because there is no vision that people are united around. George and I tomorrow celebrate 30 years of marriage, praise God. She said I do, and I was done. No, it's been unbelievable. As in, some of you think 30 years, she deserves a medal. I would agree with that. But frankly, after 30 years, I would say this also, it has been the best 30 years of Georgie's life. All right. All right. How many of you know, 30 years, if you're going to live in the blessing and the goodness and go stronger and stronger and stronger, you need a vision from God. Marriages, can I speak to you guys, husbands and wives, get a vision for your marriage. I promise you, if you're focused on a vision, you won't be focusing on throwing pots and pans at each other. You know what I'm saying? You got to get a vision from God. Proverbs 29 verse 18 in the NIV says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. All right, so listen to this. Where there is no revelation, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. They're just living willy-nilly, however they want. There's no rhyme or reason. They're not living on point. But where there is a revelation, a vision, a dream from God, then they can begin to live on point. Then they can begin to live on purpose. Then they can begin to focus themselves in. They get up every day. They pray to the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Whether it's sunshine or whether it's rain, it makes no difference to me because I'm living for the purposes of God. I've got a vision, Lord. I got a reason to live. I got a reason to get up. And I'm not gonna sit there and complain and just whatever. I'm going to live for the purposes of God. So when we have a revelation, then we've got purpose. When we're stepping out in faith, we attract the favor and the suddenlies of heaven. Now, I'm going to talk about a story that many of you have heard, and I'm not going to apologize for repeating it for those who have heard, and the reason is because this story is very powerful. How many of you know you have a testimony? If you're in Christ, you've got a testimony. Your story is powerful. I want to encourage you, tell your story. Some people are like, oh man, I'd really like to witness to my friends. I'd really like to bring people. You don't need a doctrine in theology. You just need to tell your story. This is what God has done for me. This is what church life has done for me. This is what my family at church is doing for us. You just tell your story. This story is going to help us to understand how we might attract the favor of God. In 1998, I was in a church camp, pastor's camp in Sydney. In that camp, the Lord turned up. How many of you love it when the Lord turns up? In that camp, for me, the Lord turned up. I sat there and His presence came all over me. I started to cry. I started to laugh. I started to cry. I started to laugh. I think I'm having a nervous breakdown. I'm only 33 years of age. This is ridiculous. And then I closed my eyes. And when I closed my eyes, God spoke to me and showed me a vision. I'm not going to go into the vision and all that, but this is what I'd say. God spoke to me about four things. He said, Shane, go back to Victoria. He actually said, go back. I was in New South Wales. He said, go back, Father, your family, your church, your community, and your state. Very clearly, as clear as I've ever heard God speak to me, that was that day. As clear as I've ever heard God speak. Go back, Father, your family, your church, your community, and your state. Now, I am an assistant pastor in the country of a church of 140 people. All right, I'm coming back, but I can't get my head around all of this. Family, church, community, how is it ever possible that I could father the state? I'm Billy Baxter from nowhere. I'm a nobody. I've just been out there under the gum tree with my ukulele singing love songs to Jesus and the sheep that were passing by. You know what I'm saying? No one knows who I am, and I don't know anybody. That was my story. But I came back. I went back to Georgie. Georgie and I had a discussion. I said, baby, this is what God said to me. Within 50 days, we started here at what was then called Keilor Assembly of God. We started as a senior pastors at Keilor Assembly of God with a huge congregation, a huge attendance on that particular Sunday morning of 48 people. Praise God. It was huge. Maybe four or five rows just in the middle here. That was it. I tell you the truth, the congregation may not have been huge, but some of the people in that congregation have turned out to be giant slayers in the kingdom of God. Absolutely incredible people. But that is where it began. That's where it started, and that is where it began. So I began to understand that now God has got a plan for my life. God has got a purpose. I already knew it, but now it's like honing right in. I got to father my family, my church, my community. And Lord, this state, if I can be really honest, this is impossible. How many of you have got a dream? Dream the impossible. Thank you very much. How many of you have got a dream? Give me a wave if you've got a dream. All right. Tell me this. Can you fulfill your dream? All right. So you're like, I don't know what the right answer is. I'll say nothing. Good idea. All right. Here's the point. If you can fulfill your dream in your strength, it's probably not a God dream. If you can fulfill the vision that God has got for you in your own power, it's probably not from God. Because if you have a God dream that you can fulfill, you will get the glory and God's going to get left on the side. But when you step into a realm, when you step into a dimension, when you step into the power of God and everybody looking and everybody watching is understanding and they're saying, man, this is impossible. It must be God. How many of you know God gets all the glory? And how many of you know God wants to get all the glory? I want to live a life where God gets the glory. I can father my family. I can do that. I need the Lord's help, but I can do that. I can father my church, and with God's help, we can do this together. The community, it's Lord, I don't understand my community, but we can do this. But Lord, when it comes to the state, it's impossible. I thought it was impossible. To be honest, part of me didn't believe it, part of me did, but whatever. So I learned really quickly, if this is going to become a reality, I need to do two things. Everyone say two things. All right, so here's the thing. If you want suddenlies to come your way from heaven, if you want the miraculous, the power, the goodness of God to come your way, if you want it to come your way, two things I want to remind you of that you need in your realm of thinking, in your realm of life, in your realm of decision making? These are the two things that I learned. All right, if I'm going to father the state, which is impossible, how many of you know there's 276 churches in the state of Victoria? At that point in time, there's 242. Now there's 276. It's impossible. I'm just Shane from the country. I'm just a carpenter, like our Lord and Savior, but that's all I am. It's impossible for me to father the state of Victoria. I don't know. I haven't had the experience. It's never going to happen. But this is what I believe. I believe if it's of God, I need to do two things. Here are the two things this morning that I worked out really quickly. Point number one, first thing is simply this. Well, the two things are, I positioned myself. How many of you know you positioned yourself in church today? Good job. Give yourselves a hand. You positioned yourself, positioning. So the two simple things I did is I positioned myself and I put my hand up to serve wherever I could. Wherever I could. I didn't say to the state, I will serve, I'm going to serve here, or I'm going to serve here, or I'm going to, no. I said, I will serve anywhere I can. You need someone in the car park? No, talking about over all the church. I'll be in the car park. You need me in the foyer? We'll be in the foyer. You need us at conferences to welcome people, to do admin? We will do whatever you need to do. I simply positioned myself and I had a heart to serve. Friends, if you need a suddenly in your marriage, position yourself in your marriage with a heart to serve your spouse. Some of you on the inside are going, yeah. Position yourself. See, some of us can't work out why is our marriage where it's at. I can tell you why. You're never there, and when you are, you're there for what's in it for you. Welcome to church. In family life, if you're in a family and you want this family to have suddenlies in God and go from strength to strength, from glory to glory, be there when you are there. Position yourself there. Make a desire, a committed. I am going to be in my family life. I'm going to work out. I need to spend time with my family. And when I'm there with my family, I'm going to serve my family. I'm not looking to be served. I'm looking to serve. Praise God. It's going really quiet in here. This is great. I love church. All right. I learned two things. I need to position myself and I need to serve. So then from that day on, and it had been that way, to be honest, for a long period of time, but now I'm focused because God's given me a word. Now whenever there's an ACC district event on, I'm there. Whenever there's a regional event on, I'm there. Whenever there's a state event on, I'm there. And I'm not just there to receive, but I'm letting them know in advance, I'm going to be there and my team is going to be there and we will serve the state in whatever way you need us to serve. That's just how we did it from day one. Bang, bang, bang. Soon, I was invited onto the district team. Soon after that, I became the district leader. Then I was invited onto the regional team. And then soon after that, I became the regional leader. We did this for 4 years, just positioned ourselves. And then we served. Actually, we did it for 6 years, sorry. For 6 years, I'm there and I'm serving. I'm there and I'm serving. People see what you do. You can say whatever you want to say, but they're more interested in what you do. You know, I can say that this is what I'm believing for, but if my life doesn't add up to what I'm believing for, how many of you know it ain't ever going to happen? If I'm believing to father the state, I need to begin to act like a father. I need to be there. I need to begin to serve. And so that's all we did for 6 years. We are in there and we are serving. After 6 years, I had a number of people say, hey, why don't you put your hand up for the state executive? And I'm like, Shazam, man, here we go. It's about to happen. So I'll put my hand up for the state executive. At that point in time, as I said, there was 242 churches in the state of Victoria. I'm thinking, here we go. My time has come. I have done my apprenticeship 6 years. I've been there. I've been present at everything. I've been serving in whatever way has been asked of me. I put up my hand. The vote happens. There's 800 people in the room. And long story short, I got spanked. I got spanked. I got rejected. I was a little bit shell-shocked because it wasn't the plan. I knew the word of God. And yet when the time came in front of my peers, I was rejected. If I can be honest, I was a little bit humiliated. was a little bit despondent, very despondent. I was a little bit challenged on the inside as I'm processing everything that's going on. Did I feel rejected? Absolutely. Just out of curiosity, because here's the thing, when I felt rejected and when I felt humiliated, when I felt like, here's the hand, speak to the hand from my movement, from my peers, in that moment, I had a choice. I can shrink back, I can pull back, or I can make another decision. If you're trying to build a marriage which you're believing for suddenly to occur in, or a family, or a business, or a ministry, if you've got the word of the Lord, there's going to be a point where you're going to be rejected. There's going to be a point where you're going to say, you're going to feel the hand in your face. I promise you this, if you have got a vision from God, a word from God, a dream from God, if it's really from God, don't expect the devil to roll out the red carpet and say, welcome into your kingdom destiny. I promise you this, if you've got something in God, the enemy is going to come out against you. He's a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And if you're carrying something from the kingdom of God, he's coming after you. So what are you going to do? When it gets tough, are you going to shrink back, pull back? So I just came back to Melbourne. I walked back to Melbourne from Geelong because I was a little bit ticked. So I had to let it out. I walked back. No, I didn't really walk back, but it felt like it. It took forever. I get back to Melbourne. What am I going to do now? Shrink back? No, I just kept turning up. I'm a regional leader, and I'm going to be the best regional leader this state has ever had. So I'm ever present, like the ever-ready bunny. Like, I am good to go. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm ever present, and what am I doing? I'm serving. Ever present, serving. This is what I've been doing. This is what's going to happen. 2 years later, I get invited. I get all these messages come in. We want to nominate you again for the state executive. I'm like, Shazam, man. Here we go. Oh, my attitude is good. My spirit is good. I'm like, yeah, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And it's like, I am good to go. So we go to vote again. What happens? Bonk, spanked again. Reject. All right. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know. Hey, this wasn't the plan. Georgie says to me, are we going to do this again? You're going to go around again? Because emotionally, in front of all your peers, I tell you, it can be wearing. Are you going to do this again? I said, baby, I'll go one more time. But after that, I don't know. Because if I got rejected again, I don't know how much a koala can bear. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I don't know that I'm going to be able to do that. This is what happened. 4 months after that, I get a phone call from Pastor Alan Davies, who was the then state president. He says, Shane, he goes, this doesn't usually happen. It's a very rare thing. But one of our state executive members has just hopped off the state executive. That means I have a seat at the executive table. And according to our constitution, I can put whoever I want in that seat. He goes, I know you want to be in the state executive because you're at everything and you're always serving. You've shown us that it's in your heart. It's in your spirit. You've committed. You've done it. And so this is what I want to know, Shane. Will you come and sit at the state executive table? And I'm like, would I? Then I said, don't call me, would I? But you know what I say? And it's like, would I? I'm like, I am in. And you know what? I went to the state executive and I'm like, hey, I am here. And you know what? I'm thinking to myself, yes, it's impossible. Now, I'm still not fathering the state, but I'm at the table now. I'm at the table. How many of you know you can't be a father unless you're prepared to be a brother? That's where it begins. I can't do this if I'm not prepared to do that. And so I began to serve in that way. Now, you're like, Shane, where are you going? Let's go to the Bible. You good for the Bible? All right. I got to the state executive table because I was present and willing to serve. Anywhere. Whatever needs to be done. Let's go to Scripture now. You good? All right. Acts chapter 10, reading from verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. How many of you, just out of curiosity, how many of you love the name Cornelius? I got to tell you, there's one thing I think of whenever I read the name Cornelius, and it's CCs, corn chips, you know what I'm saying? Cornelius, it's like salsa, Cornelius chips, can't say no. Anyway, moving right along. All right. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian Regiment. Johnny Paterno, the Italians have got a gig here. Where are all the Italians in the house? Just out of curiosity. Let's give it up for Italy and all of our Italian brothers and sisters. I want to say thank you on behalf of all the congregation and all of Australia to all of the Italians that are in the room. We love your pizza. All right. Let's give it up for the Italians if you love pizza. Praise God. I am so thankful. Personally, I'm thankful to the Italian brothers and sisters, not just for pizza, but because of you, we have strong foundations in this nation because you came, you saw, and you concreted. Verse 2. I better get on with it, otherwise we're going to be late. All right. Verse 2. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius! And Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and your gifts to the poor. Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. I don't know why we just can't call him Peter then if his name is Simon, but it's called Peter. I don't know, but whatever. So the angel of the Lord says to Cornelius, go get a man named Simon who is called Peter. Now, Peter is over here fasting and praying like we all are at Enjoy Church. He's fasting and praying. He's in the presence of God. And then God begins to drop something into Peter. God is telling Peter, Peter, I want you to go visit Cornelius because something supernatural is about to happen. Something supernatural is about to occur. If they think I'm finishing, that would be supernatural. That would be a miraculous. But anyway, so moving right along. So, but you can stay. I'm happy for you to stay, Jen. Let's give up a Jen, shall we? Praise God. All right. So we have Peter. Peter is in the presence of God. He's in a trance. That's what the Bible says. He's like, as in meditation did not begin with the New Age gurus. We've been meditating in the presence of God since time began. Peter is in a trance before God, and God's showing him meat coming down, pork sausages coming down, praise God, lobster coming down. How many of you know to the Jews, you can't touch this? And then all of a sudden he's being invited to go and visit Cornelius. Cornelius is Italian. He's a Gentile. The Jews and the Gentiles, we're not doing this together. We're doing church over here. You're doing church over there. We're not going to mix. But then God intersects with Cornelius and says, Cornelius, send over here. Get a man called Simon, who's called Peter. Bring him back. God says to Peter, go and visit Cornelius. Peter goes to Cornelius' house, stands before Cornelius and his family. Everyone that's in the house is looking out, and I'm sure he's scratching his head and wherever, scratching, thinking, why am I here? It's like, this doesn't, it's not kosher, you know what I'm saying? It shouldn't be like this, but he knows he's meant to be there, and he begins to speak the word of God, begins to preach the good news. And in an instant, in a moment, the whole congregation begins to speak out in tongues. And Peter and the disciples, they're bamboozled and amazed, and they're like, well, what is going on here? God is baptizing them in the same spirit that he's baptized us in. And then they say, who can forbid? This is the first time. We need to celebrate this because I tell you, to the Gentiles, there is no greater suddenly that has ever occurred on planet Earth than this one. This is where God poured out his spirit upon all flesh, upon all people, upon all languages, tribes and tongues. And so that's like, who can forbid them now from being water baptized? Then Cornelius and all of his family go out to get water baptized. Man, what a suddenly that was. But friends, I want to say to you today, that suddenly didn't just happen. Like I said, there was no favor bomb that just came out of heaven landing on Cornelius's house. No. That is not what happened. Cornelius's suddenly had occurred, but not by chance. Cornelius became a suddenly attractor for the favor of God because of his presence and his service, his prayers, and his generosity. The angel says, your prayers and your generosity have come up as a memorial offering before God. The eyes of the Lord roam all over the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And he's looking and looking and looking, and he's still looking and looking and looking. And as he's looking, he sees a man. He says, I'm going to go favor that house. And he pours out his spirit. Now, some of you might be like, but I thought God's going to bless what he wants to bless and do what he wants to do. And I can understand you may think that, because even scripture in some parts says that is true. How many of you know God is God and God will do what he wants to do? Can I encourage you, don't put God in a box. As Christians, so often we try to box God in. This is the way God operates. He'll operate that way. As long as it works for him, then he'll step outside of that. It is true that he is the Lord and he changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I promise you this, he is God. We sometimes try to put God into our framework, tell God how he's going to operate. You do that, he's going to come along and knock your box down. He will. He'll knock it down just because to prove that he is God and he'll do whatever he wants to do. Now, but we can think this way because scriptures like Romans chapter 9, verse 15 say, for God said to Moses, he says, hey, Mo, I will show mercy to anyone I choose and I'll show compassion to anyone I choose. And so we might be like, therefore, why should we even bother to try to attract the favor of God? Why should we bother to attract the suddenlies from heaven? Yes, it is true. God will show mercy and compassion and grace and favor to whomever he chooses. But friends, believers, disciples, followers of Jesus today, let's not think for a minute that we shouldn't rise up and live in such a way as to attract the goodness of God, attract the favor of God, attract the suddenlies that God is wanting to pour out into our house. We need to be a people that are up and about. Let's not be staying in bed. Let's not be staying on the couch. Let's not be saying whatever will be, will be. No, whatever will be, won't will be. It'll be like that if you allow the enemy to come in and rob, kill and destroy. But if you will rise up in faith every day and put the word of God as your guide, bring the spirit of God into your life and speak. And you know what I'm saying? We're going to make a decision. We're going to choose. We will serve the Lord all the days of our life. And we will attract the favor of God in our direction. The story of Cain and Abel, It paints this picture perfectly. Genesis 4 verse 2 says, now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, when he got around to it, Cain brought some of the fruits that were a little bit bruised and knocked around and what was left over of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions. I like fat portions. How many of you like fat portions? Three of you? I don't know. That's strange that only three people. I want the best and the juiciest that God's got for me. How many of you want fat portions? Maybe an extra 10 of you. Praise God. It's good to see you're engaged today. That's awesome. All right. So here's the thing. Fat. God wants to bring the fat to you. And he wants you to bring the fat to him. When it comes to fat portions, if you were having a piece of steak, how many of you would say, I want the skinniest, runtiest piece of steak that's on the barbecue? I got to tell you, I want the fattest and the juiciest. I reckon this fat should be spelt P-H-A-T. Fat! You know what I'm saying? But anyway, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. As soon as these little lambies are coming out, little bullies are coming out, little calvies are coming out, he's looking for the fattest and the best. He doesn't want the blind ones. He doesn't want the deaf ones. He doesn't want the ones with 18 legs or whatever the case may be. He wants the best of the best. He wants the prettiest. He wants the fattest. He wants the juiciest because this is my offering to the Lord. I'm going to bring my best to the Lord. I'm not going to wait till the end of the season. I'm going to start from the very beginning. As soon as harvest is coming in, I'm bringing it into the Lord. All right. So this is what it says here. Now the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. So he's looking with favor on the man and the offering, but on Cain, he did not look with favor. I always find this interesting because Cain did come to God and Cain brought something, but the Lord says, you're not going to receive my favor. Because there's no heart in that and there's no best in that. You're just giving me whatever's left. That doesn't please God. He wants the first and he wants the best. And then we attract the favor of God. Are you guys good today?
Yeah.
All right. Abel suddenly received the favor of God because of where he was and what he gave to God as his offering. Cornelius attracted he suddenly, because of where he was and what he was giving as his offering, he was in prayer, he was in God's presence, he was hungry, thirsty, wanting to bring before God his prayers and his petitions. He loved the Lord. He was generous of heart and spirit, bringing an offering that was pleasing to God for the purposes of God. Church, if you want to build for yourselves a memorial offering that rises and rises and rises into the very courts of heaven, that attracts the suddenly of God, be found in his presence and begin to serve like never before. Be found in his presence through prayer. Come out to our prayer meetings. Get into prayer meeting. Get into prayer yourself every day. Be found in his presence through prayer, through the word, through church services like this one here, through fellowship. Enter into real fellowship. Some of us come to church and then we just run away. Friends, you're going to be better together. I want to encourage you, find some people, brothers and sisters, have some real fellowship going on. Let's be those who serve God by serving in ways that are pleasing to him. Serving the poor, serving the widows, the body of Christ, the house of God, the Great Commission. Cornelius lived in such a way that he built a memorial to heaven that became his suddenly attractor. Abel lived in such a way that when God looked upon him, he suddenly attracted the favor of God because of their presence, because of their service. In the fullness of time, their suddenlies became their reality. 2010, I got another phone call from Pastor Alan Davies. Now I've been sitting at the state executive table for 4 years. Pastor Alan says to me, he goes, Shane, he goes, I'm going to step down from being state president in September this year, and I want to nominate you to be the next state president. You know the story from there. Well, the election happened, and I came out as the next state president. I can promise you this. I understand very well that me being state president of this wonderful movement in our nation, overseeing the 268 churches in our state, or whatever it is, 78, 76, I'm upside down now, too many services. But I can promise you this, I know that it's not me that allowed me to be a state president. I know it was my suddenly in God. But this is what I want to say. 12 years. From the time that God spoke to the time that I became the father of the state in our movement, 12 years. 12 years of positioning and of serving. Positioning and serving. Positioning and serving. And then suddenly, he became a state president. I saw him at Russell Evans one time, and Russell laughed, and he goes, I'm talking to some of the guys around the other states, and they're like, where did Shane Baxter come out of? It's like he's nobody, and then he's a state president. And Russell said, if you were in Victoria, you would know where he's been and what he's been building for the last 12 years. I thank God for what has happened. But here's the thing, this is what's happened in regard to what God has promised me. The vision, the purpose, the dream. I'm walking in it now every day, have been for 8.5 years. God has got a vision, a purpose, a plan for you. God has got a vision and a plan for your family, for your marriage, for your business, for your ministry, and everything that is near and dear to you. Some of you have been carrying things in your heart and you've almost disregarded them because, like, that's impossible. If it's impossible, give God praise. If it's impossible, begin to call it in. If it's impossible, position yourself and serve. Position yourself and serve. And then out of nowhere, in the fullness of time, your suddenly is going to arrive. Peter is going to knock on your door with the grace of God, the fire of God, the power of God. In an instant, it's going to happen. I want to pray today for every man and woman that's here. That's like, all right, I've heard what you've said. I know what I need to do now. I need to position myself and I need to begin to serve. Yeah, how many of you get distracted quickly? Give me a wave if you get distracted quickly. I can promise you, me too. I don't have ADD. I have ADD. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I gotta go. It's like, if you're in our meetings, even our state executive meetings now, as in, we're in a state executive meeting, so you've got some of the big dogs, as it were, within our movement sitting around the table. After 3 hours, I get up and I start swimming around the office. And it's like, they look at me like, what is he doing? And I'm like, what does it look like I'm doing? I'm swimming, you idiot. And it's like, I just swim past them and then I sit down and I'm like, let's keep on now. All right, how many? I got an issue. All right, I get it. God gives us a vision and a plan to live for. We get distracted quickly. We lose our train of thought quickly. Things happen. Kids get sick. Kids vomit on us. Whatever the case may be, we get distracted from where we're going and what we're doing. There's issues at work. There's issues over here. There's challenges. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And we find ourselves getting distracted from what it is that God's got for us. What do? We just go back and surrender afresh. Sorry, Lord, I got distracted. Lord, I'm going to position myself. I'm going to position myself. And I'm going to begin to serve. I want to pray for every man and woman that's here right now. And you're saying, God's got something for me. I know it. But I know I need to position myself better. And I know I need to serve. I need to make decisions every day to stay connected to where I need to stay connected to. You need to stay connected to God. Be in His presence. Be in prayer. Be in the Word. Be in that which matters to God. And then begin to serve in the areas that matter to God. In your family, serve your spouse, serve your family, serve whatever it is. And you do these two things. You position yourself and you serve. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, seemingly, the grace of God comes, the power of God, the favor of God, and you're suddenly...